Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I would have liked to be with you today, to be back in that beautiful city of Belgrade. But my mother has been very ill, and we both send you our greetings from Finland. I will be talking to you in particular about accessible museum websites. Let's move to the next slide and have a look at the plan. First of all, we shall gain insights into what makes the power of culture, what is its role in society. We will then look at how accessible culture is today. We will realize that we are on a bumpy road to accessibility. We will then gain some creative, inspiring insights looking at some jewels of website accessibility. And of course, we will be looking at the way forward. So let's move to the next slide and interrogate the role and power of culture. I could find no better way to do that than by quoting the great Italian poet Giuseppe Ungaretti, "Illuminate me with immensity." Culture opens up infinite ways of experiencing oneself, others, and the world. That is really what culture is about, and that is what cultural accessibility is about. Even policies have recognized the vital role of culture in society. So the Council of Europe Action Plan on Disability Equality says that full participation in society is dependent on full participation in cultural life. Well, how accessible is culture then today? Let's move to the next slide. And we will find that on the bumpy road to cultural accessibility, disabled people face many barriers. Let's look at the next slide, our second picture. In this picture, Sophie Weaver from Colchester Museums is a wheelchair user and looks at an exhibition table. It's not a very dignified way of looking at it. She has a cat's eye view of the world at those exhibits, can't see all of them. This is one of the many obstacles you'll find in museums for disabled people. Let's look at the next example of an access barrier. Here we are in contact with a very peculiarly French disease. We have pale grey text on a grey text panel in a museum with reflective light. With this text panel, every viewer is blinded by design. Next time you go to a museum, have a look at the barriers you will see, but of course, don't lose sight of the great things you'll see as well every now and then. Let's move to the next slide and explore some of the barriers to accessible culture in the digital world. Well, in 2005, I commissioned a web accessibility survey from City University while working for the Museums, Libraries and Archives Council. With a sample of 300, they found that only 2% of museum, library and archive websites met WCAG guidelines level AA. More interestingly, though, they also found that the average website presented disabled users with an average of 216 potential stumbling blocks. That was 10 years ago. The situation will have improved, but maybe not so much. We may think of perhaps 5% of websites meeting those level AA guidelines from WCAG. But web accessibility in the field of culture is about much more than meeting guidelines and having the basic architecture of access in place. It's also about finding information about accessible cultural offers, and only a small percentage of cultural websites provide that. When they provide it, it's often difficult to find. It may be buried deep in a local authority website structure, and the information is not always reliable. And distances from the nearest bus stop or train stop to the venue are not indicated. Also, this would be so interesting and important, allowing people with mobility difficulties, people who are visually impaired, to make their own choices as to whether to go out on their own or with friends. When we look at the growing amount of cultural resources on websites, for example, museums, collections, digital images, we will find that only a tiny fraction of them are accessible to people with a visual impairment, a hearing impairment, or a learning disability. So, the good news now, there are every now and then a few great websites who stretch the boundaries of accessibility. I was director of the Jody Mattis Trust for Accessible Digital Culture for about 10 years, and I've seen and could award many interesting sites. One that retains a great place, a beautiful place in my memory, is the Tate Gallery's IMAP website, of which you have the web address here. It presents works by Picasso and Matisse, which shows a passage from figurative art to abstract art. It deconstructs and reconstructs complex compositions in slow-motion flash movies with highly contrasted pictures, which partially sighted people see well. And in doing so, it actually helps every viewer understand this complex art quite a bit better. Let's go to the next slide. I will show you a few pictures of the resource. It's about Henri Matisse's picture called The Moroccans. What do we see here in the picture? Difficult to make it out. It's flat, there are no perspectives, so we are a little bit thrown. Let's look at the next slide. And what we see here is that the picture has been shown in even more contrasted colors, mostly black and white. And we begin to realize that we are standing on a balcony, overlooking a street, and seeing the dome of a mosque opposite the road. And to our right, there is a terracotta vase with cacti growing in it. Let's move to the next slide. And what we see here is the picture reassembled. The first picture we saw was actually made up of three pictures altogether. And here, with maximum contrast, we see it well. This is a wonderful way of visual analysis aimed initially at visually impaired people, but that actually is enlightening, illuminating everyone who gets into contact with it. Let's have a quick look at another resource of Tate IMAP, because it's so rare, only two or three websites in the world do that. It provides a series of simplified black and white drawings, which you can download and then put into something I call, for simplicity's sake, a tactile photocopier, where it comes out as a raised image that can be read by the fingers of blind people. Let's look how that works. Here we have a picture by Picasso, a nude with raised arms. It's very Africanizing. You know, the modernist and abstract painters raided African art, appropriated it for themselves. And here we see the visual analysis going on. You see a detail, it's a face, it's very mask-like. It has incisions, which remind you of tattoos. And on the next picture, you see the same face in black and white. The black parts will come out as a raised image, in a raised form, on the raised image and can be read. If there were 1,000 such websites that had good quality resources with state-of-the-art knowledge of tactile images and verbal descriptions and museum commentaries, access to museums and to world culture would be vastly enhanced for totally blind people. We've been waiting for it for quite a long while. Let's have a look at a second of a few jewels of website accessibility. It's the Whitney Museum of American Art, which received a Jody Awards commendation in 2012. The context is that worldwide deaf people are deprived of resources in their own language. And here the Whitney Museum created a vlog, a series of vlogs in American Sign Language. It's a growing resource It's only about 30 objects that are described, but it's one of the biggest in the world currently. If you have time at the conference, you can look up Off the Wall, which is one of the signed, one of the videos presented in American Sign Language by performance artist Trisha Brown, who walks down a vertical wall next to the Whitney Museum in New York. She's very impressive, and down the road people are very frightened and completely surprised. It lasts 3 minutes, so good viewing if the technology works or timing allows. And then we'll get back together again. Now, if you have seen the video, you will have seen that it had American Sign Language, you will have seen it had subtitles, which then non-deaf people can enjoy as well. Why did the judges not give a full award to this vastly interesting and impressive resource? The reason was that we always involved assessors, and three of the four deaf assessors who spoke American Sign Language said they would have liked audio as well, in addition to subtitling and sign language, so that the experience can be shared with hearing friends as well. This puts us really in the middle of the spirit of the inclusive design approach. Multimodality for the largest numbers of people in an inclusive world. So that was the reason why this impressive site did actually not get an award, but a very massive and warm commendation. The Whitney Museum has done something else that is very rare. It now adds subtitles to all their videos on site, using freely available software in the use of which staff were trained. It's one of the very few museums in the world to do so, just to show that museums do not take advantage of things that are available to them and thereby exclude, by design or by ignorance, millions and millions of people. We can do better. So what is the way forward to us? Well, I think the future lies in our hands, and by which I mean you as conference delegates, but also disabled people, decision makers, with our combined technological, engineering, pedagogical and cultural skills, we can bring about a great deal of progress. By meeting the challenge of creating vastly more resources than the pitiful quantity of resources currently available, we will unleash the creativity of ourselves, of our organizations, and we will also create a more inclusive world. We will actually streamline some of our creativity into what one might call positive social engineering for a better world. If we do so, we also make the UN Convention come true, of which Article 30 recognizes the right of people with disabilities to take part in cultural life on an equal basis. Let's look at the last slide now. Of course, to make progress on a long road, we need some resources. We are our best resource, and our colleagues are our best resources, and users are our best resources, and we need to work together. As practical resources, I recommend you looking at the Jodi Awards website. There are at least 20 case studies, there's a fair deal of guidance, and also several reports, including the one on website accessibility, which, though it is 10 years old, has still a huge amount of interesting stuff to tell, also because it focuses on user perspectives a lot. You can have a look at the current state of the arts in cultural accessibility, looking at the In Touch with Art report on the Euroblind website. It's a report which I largely wrote, but which is an analysis of accessibility in 17 European countries. If you're interested in cultural accessibility more widely, just Google my name and you will find about 15 articles in English and about 10 in French on the website. About web accessibility, I also recommend you looking at the eAccess Plus website, which was funded by the European Commission, and somewhere buried deep down in it, not so accessible, also some really interesting resources on museum accessibility. So I hope this has galvanized you and that it will also inspire you and that you continue to have a great, exciting, stimulating, life-changing conference so that together we can begin to work and to put into reality new qualities of being, new possibilities of being for people who have a disability, for people who don't have it, in this inclusive world that we aspire to. I wish you a great end of the conference and also a happy autumn. Bye-bye.